It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, where we bring in both John and Janet, and let's see what we have here. Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning.
All right. Nice to hear both your voices again on this Thursday morning.
You too.
I sit here and I look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and even though it's an off year, it is an important year. And elections have taken on a different meaning, really, for us here. Normally, when we send out people and we vote for a representative in Congress or anything, it is important to the people of the state of Connecticut, but not necessarily on the big picture of the world. And one of your main stories is the 5th District and that race, which is not only has complications and meaning for Connecticut, but also across the country.
Yes, this is a good story about the race that's between George Logan and Johanna Hayes in the 5th District, and it really is, I think, what some people have said is one of the longest time in recent history where there's been this kind of interest in spending in the Hartford media market on the race. We have a sort of a lengthy story looking at both candidates and, you know, what their positions are, building on their record or offering an alternative. We also look at what they might be doing in the next Congress.
You know, it's interesting when you say the spending. I broke down the spending. Johanna Hayes has had $800,000 brought in from the Democratic side, and George, I think it's $1.2 million. And here's the real kicker. George Logan has over $880,000 brought in from National Republican concerns. That's just a ton of money put into the state of Connecticut. It's part of what made that Supreme Court decision so bad, is that there's so much dark money out there that's not accounted for. You just don't know where it's coming from.
Right, and it's also, I think, the race is tightening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think I look at all these polls. I don't know how pollsters can poll anymore. There's so much early voting. There's also people now with social media, and there's people don't tell the truth when they go to the pollsters. I think pollsters have got to find a new way to do their job to give a little bit more accurate representation. But
that's for sure, yeah. Because the proof is just how often they're wrong.
Yeah, I'm not blaming it on the pollsters, but they've got to do something, because the big thing here is social media and people band together, and that. It just makes it very hard to predict in a poll. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think that's also good, because it might stir interest in both parties, where you can't trust the polls, where you're going to go out and you're going to vote. So
let's hope so.
Yeah. I want to go to the story right opposite that, which is it's nice to see the South Kent School once again with the flash mob to Thriller for Halloween.
This is a wonderful photograph by Lons Christensen in Kent. The zombie dance down in Kent on Halloween night.
And speaking about zombies, let's go to the spongy moth. We live through drought. We live through spongy moths. We live through you name it. And once again, they might be back next year.
Yes, this is a story that takes a deeper look at the science behind what happened in the last 2 years with the spongy moth. And we talked to some scientists at the Agricultural Extension Service last year. You know, over 45,000 acres in Litchfield County were defoliated. That's a tremendous hit. So we took a look at what do the scientists think, is going to happen this coming year. And it's not a terribly pretty picture. Experience and the science behind it indicates that possibly, more than two-thirds of the hardwoods, the oaks on Sharon Mountain, will be dead within a couple of years. Don't know whether this will transpire, but we're doing our best to sort of look at it from, the science side.
All right. Another story, which we can tie to what we opened up about, with the story about Logan and Hayes, is that one of the factors that is new and is spreading across the country also is you can register to vote on Election Day. Now, you can't register to join a party if you're not in a party or something like, but you can actually, if you've not been registered to vote on Election Day, you can register now. That's another one of those things that have been different over the past 10 years.
Right, and this is a short story, but it is an important one. It points out that you can do that, and also that the Election Day registration is always the town halls, so you can register from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. On the day of voting. Complete your registration and then vote.
All right, you've got a great story, a profile by Lila Hawken on Cornwall's new advocate for housing.
Yes, and I must say this is a great story. It is one more piece of the story of affordable housing in the Northwest Corner. Cornwall has been very interested in tackling this issue, and Lila has done a story about Jessica Brackman, who has roots in Cornwall and who obviously has gone away and come back with her husband. And this is a story that looks at the ways that she anticipates helping people with longer range and longer term housing needs in the town. She encourages everybody to get a hold of her.
All right, we go on and look at some of the stories. We'll first go to Norfolk. Done a lot of stories over the past month about food pantries, and you've got a story about the food pantry up in Norfolk.
Yes, this is a story about the pantry that's in Battelle Chapel, and it has one feature that people like, and that is that it's sort of set up like a store. You can go in, there are shelves, there's a refrigerator, you can just pick and choose what you want. You don't have a prepackaged, delivery. But people come from far and wide. They don't really request any kind of ID or where you're from. So it serves a wide area. And I think it was September, which seems like a long time ago, but they average, serving, up to 240 people of families, not families, but total number of people. And it's very popular. They also will be sponsoring a food stompin' for the food pantry dance on November 12th. And the town itself does a lot. Additional things are mentioned in the story about what else the town does to help people, including giving people market money at the farmer's market, so you can actually go there without money and come away with vegetables.
All right, a couple of stories out of Sharon we'll talk about now. First of all, this is a story that runs across the board for problems in every town, and that is Sharon looking at the future of its health department. There's some resignations coming up, people that have worked hard, and they've got to figure out a way to fill those resignations and possibly go in a different direction when it comes to the health department.
Yes, this is a story that looks at the town's a consideration of maybe joining or becoming a member of the Housatonic Valley Health District in lieu of continuing to maintain its own health department. And I think the town has just begun to sort of think this over. They have until really the spring when the people you mentioned will be leaving.
And the vote for Comcast was put off because they had to change the legal language. We'll talk about the town meeting that was held a little bit. But this Comcast proposal is a very big proposal where Comcast has come to the table, and now even Frontier wants to come to the table to pay for more than half the cost of setting up an additional 250 homes in Sharon being able to get high-speed internet.
Right, and the Frontier has, as you said, pointed out, has shown up to sort of offer a possible alternative. So they are going to be looking at possibly two ways to solve their internet puzzle. The Board of Selectmen set a November 10th meeting that will be considering at 6 o'clock. Be considering this matter, and then there was a meeting a couple days ago. an information session with Frontier. So definitely a moving target down there. But looks like they're going to have some kind of solution if everybody wants it.
All right. And the town meeting that was held approved the part two of the Green Project to fix up the green and also to make a couple major purchases for the highway department.
Right. A couple of town trucks. These things aren't inexpensive. Two trucks, $410,000.
Nothing's cheap nowadays.
Right. And then spending about, $100,000 or so on the green project.
You know, it's nice. I sit here and I'm looking at a story that was new to me. And I live basically here, except for the time when I was moving around a radio in the northwest corner. A great story on the North Canaan's Douglas Library. Great pictures of the first four books, and gives you a lot of background and information on a local landmark.
I know. I think people love to read about history and they love to read about people. This is a combination of two. The man who was a bookish bachelor decided to get this library started 200 years ago. And it's among the four oldest public libraries in the state of Connecticut. This story looks at where it started, where it moved, where it is now, and it is a great tour of history of downtown North Canaan.
We'll move over to Millbrook, New York, because this is a kind of cool story as well, and that is the moon rocks that were put on presentation.
Yes, there's a man who lives down there in the fountains. His name is Ron Pastrano, and he, as far back as 1986, was chosen by NASA to become an independent researcher. So he's not really employed by NASA in any sense, but he is someone who is part of the championing the International Space Society, which looks at meteors, meteorites, moon rocks, and this story looks very curiously at his fascination. He had a display set up down at the fountains in Millbrook last month, and this takes a look at this man's real fascination and passion for space rocks.
All right, moving on. Bears are going to find food harder to find in North Canaan because the proposition to kind of sanction people who leave food out for bears passed.
That's right, and the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, Tim Abbott, has pointed out that he's always counting numerous numbers of bears himself. But this is an ordinance that was passed with some fairly stiff fines, up to $250 for the first offense, and then warnings after that, with fines increasing by $100 for each following up offense. So the town decided to do this, and that's happened. There was question whether or not there should be more focus on unsecured trash, but nevertheless, there is definitely now. You can't feed the bear in North Canaan.
You know, Salisbury had, Janet, you know this, had a severe problem with bears up to about a year ago. And finally, the merchants and the places that have food put in more secure places to put their food. And the bear problem this year has been like 90% less than it was in the past.
Yeah, what a big difference. And, the bears at that time also were attended to by the DEP and moved to different areas. So that might have helped too, but it is, we remember the front page story we had with bears walking up Main Street.
Yeah. let's go to the Housatonic Valley Association. They have their benefit auction coming up on November 20th.
Yes, this is a very important benefit for them, and it will be at South Farms in Morris. It's really a focus on helping this organization, which combats climate change and acknowledges the importance of it for our future generation. It does does manage or focus on 2,000 square miles of the tri-state Housatonic watershed. So it's a big deal, November 20th, South Farms in Morris.
I want to go to the sports page because finally I see a great story and a great picture. Football used to be Housatonic versus Gilbert, a big rivalry. Of course, both schools have problems with getting enough students. Well, the Gilbert Northwestern Housatonic football team is back with a varsity and JV team this year. And right now they sit with a 5-2 record. And once again, we get to see our students, our student athletes, play football and quality football. It's a great story, and it's a great story about how three different schools can come together and provide something that now gives these student athletes that like football an outlet to play it in.
That's a great point, and we have a nice photograph of that game, which was attended by approximately 1,000 people on Friday night. So it's football under the lights in Torrington.
It was, like I said, it's just nice to see that. Of course, I'm not forgetting about the Salisbury school winning, but football has been really tough in this area, and Housatonic fans have missed it, and students have missed playing it, and now there's enough. This is the great thing. There's enough for JV and varsity, which means that. Now this will continue in the area. It's just a great story.
It is, and it's nice that two former rivals three former rivals can come together and make a great team.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting story by Patrick Sullivan on Corvairs and Coyotes.
Yes, this is Eric Veden in Fall Village has been making videos for some time. This is his 27th episode. Basically portraying life in the village. This one is available at the Hunt Library to view. And he looked at the collection of Corvairs owned by Steve Dutton. He also makes a nod to Ralph Nader, of course, Unsafe at Any Speed. And then this video also covers the Coyotes. That's where the headline comes from. Ginny Apple looks up and talks about smart coyotes. And there's also a concluding piece on just life as a child, remembering life as a child in Falls Village in a different era by Mickey Palmer.
All right, I want to move on to the, we only have about 5 minutes left, to the opinion page. Lots of letters to the editor and your editorial, Janet. Vote and appreciate those who guide us through the process.
Right. We're reminding readers here that since we turn nonprofit, we don't endorse candidates of any political party, and that was new for us. We always did up until that point, unlike some newspapers. So we certainly believe in the democratic process and look at the fact that now there are election officials who are targets of hostility from voters at times, and so we are pointing out that they work really hard. In our experience, they have never been partisan, only deliberate in their devotion to getting the votes counted correctly and as quickly as possible. So we're lucky here, and in this country, we're lucky to have that, and everyone to take advantage of that and step up and vote on November 8th.
And like I said, lots of letters, everything from the Sharon Hospital to endorsement letters, but also a full range of topics that, hey, your readers wanted to voice their opinion on.
That's right, and now is the time. And so they're on the Comcast, Vote in Sharon. There's a really interesting historical perspective on Sharon Hospital from Barclay Prindle. Don't miss that one. And we just are so appreciative that our readers see our pages as the place to express some really interesting opinions.
All right, and once again, let us go to Compass, which once again has a lot of different interesting stories about things.
Yes, Alexander Wilburn has done a really nice sort of look at the youth of the late Duncan Hanna, whose art is at the Cornwall Library through November 27th. He also takes a look at some films that are available around the area. One is The Triangle of Sadness at the Movie House in Millerton. There's another another one, Soccer Mommy, at the Mocha's Hunter Center in North Adams. The Traviata is going to be broadcast up at the Mahewi, and a couple of other things in there. Alex has done a very nice job of looking at both film and theater and art in the tri-state.
You know, I have to get there before we say so long. Janet, being a nonprofit, has taken the pressure off, really, of you. You always did endorsements. You always did them fairly. I mean, I ran for office and was treated fairly. But being a nonprofit really takes the pressure off, where people no longer can get angry at your opinion, the paper's opinion.
That's right. But, you know, we always have enjoyed the political season. And for so many years, we also co-sponsored with the League of Women Voters debates among the candidates, so people could be informed. You know, we never assumed that people would just look at our editorials and say, okay, that's who I'm voting for. But we wanted to inform our readers as well, and so it is a privilege to be able to do that. But understand the way it is now as a nonprofit. We will continue. You know, we tried to sponsor the debate this year, and it just couldn't work out. But hopefully next year, yes. And we will continue to cover the candidates, just as we saw on the front page story that we picked up from the Connecticut Mirror this week on the 5th District. It's really important that our readers understand what's happening in our local and statewide elections, as well as the national ones.
All right. All this and more, the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. Of course, you can buy the papers at newsstands, get home delivery, and tricornernews.com on the web for the full editions of both papers. Guys, we will speak to you next week.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Have a good election day.
Thank you.
Bye. It is Lakeville Journal, once again, tricornernews.com, and you can find this show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.